This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Such policies cannot continue. They make our nation less safe by putting dangerous criminals back on the streets.
Jeff Sessions says, no more. Lots of discussion about where we're headed as a nation when it comes to criminals who find themselves burrowing in at one of these sanctuary cities. And they're here illegally in 34, one of 34 possible spots, and they're not deported as they're supposed to be. At risk is federal bucks, serious big bucks for some of these cities. So now it's a war between Sessions, the attorney general, and several mayors of big and small cities. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. This is where we step off part of the conversation, the water cooler buzz. It has been over this for quite some time. This isn't a new discussion. It's just the strong arming now has happened where Sessions is saying, yeah, you don't do something and supply those stats and deport the bad guys, we're not going to give you the money. So California and Maryland, two cities that are states, rather, that are thinking of becoming a sanctuary state. This is our way around it. Let's just get out of this. We're not gonna have to deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. We think it's wrong, and we're not gonna profile, and it's dangerously close to profiling. So instead, we're not gonna play. But that hasn't happened yet. There's just heavy discussion on making it happen. Sessions is threatening to hold the money back and saying, yeah, we're not going to do that. You're not going to get the grants. You're not going to get that money that you need in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago. It's not happening. So the protection now is for the illegal immigrants against the list, the deportation list that ICE has. The concern is there going to be someone from ISIS in the midst of some of these sanctuary cities, however. Police agencies are officers from checking on immigration status when making arrest or traffic stops and have refused to lock up people longer than otherwise warranted at the request of federal agents trying to deport them. So there's a big turf war going on. Dollars are at stake. And attitudes are absolutely on the line. In California, the bill that I'm talking about would essentially make all of the most populous U.S. state, right, a sanctuary. So if there's enough votes to pass it, that's what would happen. You've got the L.A. mayor saying, slashing funds for responders for our port, our airport, counterterrorism, crime-fighting community building serves no one, and this threat is stupid. In Maryland, like I said, taking it a step further, and in California, taking it a step further as well, if they get the backing, yeah, we're just going to call ourselves a sanctuary state. New Orleans, listen to me in New Orleans, Philadelphia, Chicago, New York City, all possibly non-compliant. So according to Trump's executive order, Jeff Sessions, as the attorney general, would have to wait until the Homeland Security Department determines what constitutes noncompliance. But they may be able to come up with this pretty quickly, and the money flow could be cut off. I mean, the money's already been allocated, right? So maybe it doesn't happen for this year, but maybe it's up for grabs next year. Maybe. And we're talking about a lot of money that's on the line. We're talking about lots and lots of money. How much was doled out to California, to certain cities? How much went directly to cities and counties last year? Over $136 million. I think this is a fund that's going to get bigger and more specific to certain areas in digging around and seeing who's not complying, who's complying, how much money they're getting, you know, all of that in between. So Jeff Sessions is saying, fine, we'll just end the sanctuary cities. How about that? We'll just say adios to that. Forget it. In the meantime, while all of that's happening, the president had a busy Monday heading into another week, the final week in March. Can you believe it? We're almost leaping ahead to April. And Trump signed several bills that would affect Obamacare, because last week, we know, was a brutal week for the president. Didn't get the votes they needed to work on the ACA and tearing it apart. So the president rolled back a bunch of regulations, signing four bills that reverse rules on education, land use, and federal purchasing, and promised to remove every job-killing regulation they could possibly find. So how do you do this? Reverse regulations. Because the resolution of disapproval reached the president's desk through the Congressional Review Act, which is rarely used. It allows Congress to fast-track bills to reverse regulations. But before this president, the law had been used successfully only once in a 21-year span. That's how long it's been around. Trump has now signed a total of seven at a pretty rapid pace. So previous bills have reversed Obama regulations banning Social Security recipients with a mental problem from buying a firearm, restrict the dumping of mining waste in streams and rivers, that's what happened in Colorado, and requiring energy companies to disclose how much they're paying foreign governments. So half of all bills the president has signed so far have been the kind that kills the red tape, the resolutions. Sean Spicer, the White House press secretary, said that many of the bills cancel federal power grab that took decision-making away from the states and local governments, is how we see it. Two regulations, measuring school performance and teacher training under the Every Student Succeeds Act, which was a law that the former president signed in 2015 with bipartisan support. Trump's new action would preclude federal action on any of those rules, since the administration is now banned from issuing any new rule that is substantially similar to the ones that were just overturned. If all of that is confusing to you, don't be confused. There was a ceremony in the Roosevelt room of the White House. There was a lot of work, the president said, by a lot of people to get it done. He says it's going to lead to more jobs. What do you think? See you in a few here on America Tonight.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-958-9659. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, Do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-958-9659. That's 1-800-958-9659. 1-800-958-9659.
Have you ever wanted a shortcut to getting the underground secrets to making money online and seriously grow your business? Whether it's a new business, a part-time income, or an existing business, you have this incredible limited offer to get a copy of his Amazon best-selling book on .com success for free. Uncover the success factors to make your business ignite. Go to secretsignite.com. That's secretsignite.com. Get your free copy now. Go to secretsignite.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm on to something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Lifetime Grazed 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com or find us on Facebook.
Knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let her do all the talking.
You know that our goal is to have 32 stable franchises for each of those teams and also the league. We work very hard and never want to see a relocation of a franchise. That means exhausting our options and doing everything we possibly can to get a solution in the existing market.
Yeah, Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, bunk. So they did not they are relocating. They did not stay in Oakland. The move was, well, Mark Davis wanted to this team there, and I think the NFL owners wanted it. Plus, the NFL gets a relocation fee. It was not happening. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Remember, you can always send me your thoughts. How do you do that? Through Miracle of the Internet at AmericaTonight.net. Quickly, some broad strokes on it. So the approval, there's the owners' meetings happening in Phoenix. The approval, overwhelming, 31-1. A team in Vegas would allow the league to super capitalize on a booming forest. All the excitement and all of the hundreds of millions of dollars go to the construction of a new stadium. Vegas is set, 2020, baby. And the Raiders, of course, are known for an incredibly passionate fan base that will begin playing in Vegas as soon as 2019 and someplace temporary. The lease at their stadium expires after 2018 and 2020. They'll move into, if it's ready, $2 billion stadium with $750 million in public's money. Now, Libby Schaff, who is the mayor of Oakland, said that losing the team is going to really tear the people apart. It's going to tear their psyche, their pride, and the league is going to regret its decision. She said the Raider Nation is the last of the blue-collar, salt-of-the-earth fan bases, and it absolutely breaks my heart to lose this team. I feel her pain because it is a big blow to Oakland, but they're certainly not the last of the blue-collar, salt-of-the-earth teams. However, it is an incredible punch in the gut for them. Isn't it interesting how politics and sports are so similar? It's crazy, isn't it? It is. The tax dollars for the stadium, all of that, I think, was just, I mean, there's no way. They were saying yes, yes, yes. And that the Raiders are the second major team to go to Vegas. Quickly, I'll tell you this. There's now talk of a Major League Baseball team, an MLS team, and an NBA team, but the NHL has a team there. So the NHL is happening this upcoming season. So the NHL and the NFL get there first. Vegas is exploding. I mean, just absolutely exploding. And that is rough because they have been there for a long time. So the Oakland fans lose again in a very big, big way. And I agree with the mayor there. They're going to be real bitter about that. I mean, absolutely. Not happy. A quick reminder to everybody that coming up on our Thursday night show, we will do... I want to make sure I get this right for everybody. We're going to do a Nail the Score because you asked me for it. Nail the Score is going to happen in our next show. We're going to do it Tuesday. On our next show, Tuesday show, we will do Nail the Score in our second hour final segment. Sweet! So you could win some fabulous prizes and just bragging rights from America Tonight if you guess correctly. And we've got the Carolina team, South Carolina, North Carolina, in the Final Four. Oregon and Gonzaga round things out. It's interesting, the teams that fell and the excitement over March Madness was pretty big. And I think part of that is because of the gambling, actually, since we're on that subject, because so many fill out these pools. So it was it's a really interesting way to close out the season. And now who's going to win? You've got first up for the Final Four on April 1st. You have Gonzaga taking on South Carolina. And this is, of course, in Phoenix. And then you have Oregon and North Carolina. Wild if it came down to the two Carolinas playing against each other for a championship. I can imagine the trash talking on Tobacco Row if that happens, and outside of it. Grim, you have the floor here on ATN. Hello.
It's all going downhill.
It's all going downhill. Move to Vegas. Everyone's moving to Vegas.
Not me. Everybody moved there. You know, I mean, politics and in football is all going downhill.
There's similarities.
Well, I heard they were moving earlier than that. I got a little thing I heard. I can't remember whether it was over the radio or TV, but I got a funny for you. This young couple are going out on a blind date. They've already arrived at the restaurant. They've sat down. They've ordered their meal, and they've ordered the drinks, and the waiter's just delivered the drinks, and they both take a sip. And the young lady says to the gentleman, she says, "Well, why don't you tell me something about yourself?" And he says, "Okay, well, I believe in God. I have high moral standards. I believe that, you know, the alternative lifestyle, the gays and the lesbians are abomination." And she's sitting there saying, "Well, God, check. I can work on the other." And then he says, I think that, you know, when I do get married, I want my wife to stay at home and have have many children so that I can have many male heirs to my fortune. And she goes, now wait a minute here. Are you some kind of male chauvinist Republican pig? And the guy goes, no, I'm Muslim. She comes back and she says, oh, excuse me, I didn't mean to be prejudiced or Islamic phobia or anything. What do you think of that one,
Islamophobia,
Gabe?
Oh, my gosh. I was waiting for an incredible punchline. I thought there should be something about seven virgins in there or something else, and I didn't get that. You're crazy, man. Oh, you're trying to create
world.
Jokes
That's
now,
I
just like Dan.
Going all downhill, girl. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You know, they can't even recognize
crazy.
Their own crowd.
Crazy.
But,
you can't recognize their own crowd.
But I heard another one. But there's this new program, I don't know if you've seen it on TV, called Truth or Dare. And it's kind of like the old cash cab. Young man's trying to start up his own television game show, except he's doing it out in California along,
uh-huh.
you know, the L.A. beach. And he asks certain questions, you know,
yeah.
to get your bank up, individual questions, and then he has at the end, which is the truth part. You answer truthfully, you get $25 per right answer. And at the end, he has three envelopes, which are dares. One for 100, one for 200, one for 300. If you choose to take the dare, you can, you know, double, triple your money, or you can lose it all. But anyhow, he asked this one question to these couple of guys that were standing around, and you could tell they were potheads. One was black, one was white, and the black guy had glasses on, but the white guy, his eyes, pupils are so huge that all you could see is a red ring around around the eyeballs. And the first question he asked was basically a current political one. And he said, this guy recently died. Can you tell me what his job and position was? And his last name was Scalia. And the white guy goes, oh, yeah, I know. No, he was Supreme Court Justice. And then the next one was a math one. And I said, oh, they ain't even going to get this one. And he asked, which weighs more, a pound of steel or a pound of feathers? And, you know, black guy turns to the white guy and says, I know steel's more heavier. And the white guy goes, yeah, that's right. So they said, a pound of steel. Now, he asked that question four times, Kate. Four times.
Four times, then, that's right. Fifth time is the charm.
And he finally had to say, well, a pound is a pound, no matter what it is, you know. And then
yeah.
the next question is another math question. And he said, how many feet are in a mile? How many feet are in a mile, Kate?
How many feet are in a mile, Grim? We are out of time. You got.
Oh.
But there you go. Did you hear that answer? 5,280.
Nope.
That's unbelievable. You've got to save that for the next time around. And everybody's going to be curious about it because we got Frank Shamrock coming up here on America Tonight.
When a storm causes power loss for a whole day, it can seem endless. There's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power for not just days, but for months or longer. Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. And CENTCOM General Lloyd Austin says it's not a question of if, but when. That's why Americans are rushing to secure solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. And the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all. Portable and lightweight, providing up to 1,500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. If a blackout strikes, you'll have power for heat, lights, cell phones, and computers, and critical medical devices, all from the rechargeable solar power. Our first introduction sold out fast, and with high demand, we can't guarantee keeping the supply in stock. Stay protected with the power you need. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. Right now, enjoy our special easy pay option. Just go to blackout27.com. That's blackout27.com. Blackout27.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves. Home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons Sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
Short people have long faces, and long people have short faces. Big people have little humor, and little people have no humor at all.
And in the words of that immortal bard, Samuel J. Snodgrass, as he was about to be led to the guillotine, make them laugh, make them laugh.
Don't so what is funny, and how do you use humor when you're speaking, and, you know, what is it that we think... And this is such a tough question. What do we think is funny today versus, I don't know, 10 years ago and decades before? Or is it all the same? Joining us now, what a thrill, what a pleasure to have Jeffrey Gurian on this show. He is a comedian, a comedy writer, an author. He's got a couple of new books, and we're going to talk about those as well here. Hi, Jeffrey. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Hi, Kate. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on with you.
So, you know, you've done this for decades, and this is a tough question, but what is funny today versus what was funny in the past, or is it all the same?
Well, you're right. It is a very tough question, because funny changes, you know, funny changes from day to day. I've had the honor of working with some of the real legendary comedians, the greats like, you know, Milton Berle and Jerry Lewis, so I go back a while, and funny then was like one-liner jokes, which is very rare today. Today they do mostly observational humor, like Jerry Seinfeld would do, or Robert Klein, who was one of the first people to do observational humor. Like, have you ever noticed that this happened, you know, things that people can relate to. So it's different there. Plus, today there are so many more comedians than there used to be. I mean, almost everybody's a comedian these days. It's crazy. When you go out to the clubs, I cover the comedy scene in New York for a column that I write as well. And so I'm out every night, and there are comedians that I've never heard of, and a lot of them are very funny. And everybody's talking about something different. So it's really hard to say what's funny today as opposed to what was funny before. But there are so many other things to talk about today because we have technology, which we didn't have in the old days. You know, and a lot of people want to talk about online dating and texting. You know, everybody's texting these days. It's gotten to the point where you get upset if someone actually calls you, you know, because...
True.
You're like, why didn't you text me? You know, everybody's, you have to text, you know? Yeah. And so there are so many different things to talk about these days than there were years ago. But the comedy itself is very different.
And it's interesting, too, with people who think they're funny. And there are a lot of speakers who use humor. So they aren't necessarily always on the big stages or in some of the smaller comedy clubs. But they're speaking and using humor in whether they're talking about communications or they're talking about leadership or whatever. What would you say works if you're in those situations? Because I think humor really sells even if you're a speaker.
Well, of course, and humor is the best way to carry a message. People tune in much more when you make something funny. But you have to change. Like, for instance, I once wrote a speech for Ernie Anastas, who did a speech at the White House. And if you're not a stand-up comedian, you don't want to try and come across as someone who's trying to tell jokes and be a stand-up comedian. You want to just come across as being clever. You know, like if you're writing for a singer... Again, singers have to be clever. They have to have a little patter between their songs. So humor is a great way to carry a message. I look at humor as a healing force. I recently was the opening night comedian at the Martin Luther King Comedy Festival, and I was the only white performer on the festival. And it was a great honor to me. And in the middle of the festival, I said to them, are you guys into racial humor? And they said, yes. They were very enthusiastic. And everyone was laughing, and it was an amazing thing. And I thanked the audience for being open to laughing at themselves and at each other, because that's how we heal. There are certain comedians that do that. They're very inclusive. And I really look at comedy as a healing force and as a way of carrying a message. So no matter what you're talking about, you can make it humorous. And there are a lot of speakers who specialize in humor. I'm sure that you do when you do your talk.
I do. Yeah, it's loaded with that. And you're right, it's observational humor. And I think it's interesting to explore that. And you brought it up at the top, you know, talking about technology was great. There's a lot that you can use with technology. What else would you say are some great kind of tips or clues that people listening to us could maybe use in their everyday life when it comes to observational humor? What should they be looking for?
Well, you try and talk about things that everybody relates to. Like when I'll talk about cell phones, everyone, or beards. Everyone has a beard these days, right?
Yep.
I usually apologize to my audience for not having any facial hair, you know, for not having a beard, because not everyone grows a good beard, you know. Some guys get these perfect beards. Other guys get this patchy stuff. Long hair is horrible, horrible looking. So you talk about things that people can relate to on an everyday basis. Cell phones. Everyone's got a cell phone these days. So, you know, I try and pick things that I find are funny, traveling, going through customs. You know, if you're a speaker and you're speaking in another country, then it's very natural to talk about traveling and the things that happen to you when you travel. And it's interesting because what makes things funny to people is that it's something that everyone has experienced, but comedians see it in a different way. We see the world in many levels. Most people experience the world on a very superficial level. So when you bring in these little nuances, they laugh because they relate to it. They think it's funny. And no matter where you go, you can talk about things like traveling, going on an airplane, and as I said, going through customs, the silly questions that they ask you when you're going through customs. I actually bring a customs form with me when I go on stage. These are questions that they supposedly ask you to protect our country from terrorists. Are you traveling with fruits or vegetables or insects? They actually ask you if you have insects. Who's traveling with insects? What country are we encouraging people to come here from where they even consider packing insects? You know, hey, honey, did you pack the bees? You know, who's going away with a, you know, do you have any soil with you, they ask you. Yeah, of course I have soil. I'm a well-known farmer. You know, I have two suitcases packed with soil just in case I'm in the mood to plant something while I'm away. You know,
yeah, so that's
you talk about things that people can relate to.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. Yeah, that's you spot on. Take the ordinary and reverse engineer it. That's what you say. If you have humor in your life, or you're a humorist or a comedian or however you want to bill it, that's what you do. You're kind of reverse engineering. Why is this? You're asking that question, have you ever noticed, that you mentioned in the beginning when you talk about observational humor.
Well, life is a struggle. And it may look easy to some people, you know, but we're all struggling. Every day things come up that you don't expect, because the only place you can control your life is maybe in your home. As soon as you walk out that door, you're at the mercy of the universe, whatever that has in store for you that day. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So we're all involved in that daily struggle. And so if you can pick things from that, people relate to it, because it's not just you. We don't talk to people enough, so we think it's just us, like we're the ultimate victim of the universe.
Yeah, you know? I love that. Yeah, absolutely. So you have two books and laughing legends about the history of the legendary comedy club, The Comic Strip, with an intro by Chris Rock. Tell me about that. That's on Amazon. How'd this book come about?
Well, I was drawn to this. I was at the Comic Strip one day, which is the only club that's still open in New York City since 1976. You know, it was the third big comedy club that had opened. And I was there with Gilbert Gottfried, one of my favorite comedians in the world. And we were kind of coaching Ann Curry on how to do stand-up comedy for an event that she had to go to. And I looked around at the walls and I saw all these famous names that came out of this club. Jerry Seinfeld and Billy Crystal and Ray Romano and Susie Essman, Lisa Lampanelli. And I said to the owner, Richie Tinkin, have you ever done a book on this club? People need to know about this. And he said, you know, well, a lot of people had offered it to him. So he came to my house and he saw the pictures on my wall. He said, you have more pictures in your house than I have in the club. He couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. So he said to me, I think maybe you're the guy to do this book. And I was honored by being given the opportunity to do this book. So for 4 years, I worked on this and I interviewed everybody. You know, as I said, Jerry Seinfeld, who spent the first 4 years of his career in that club until he went to L.A. in 1980. Chris Rock, who was discovered by Eddie Murphy there. Richie was Eddie Murphy's manager for the first 11 years of his career. And Lisa Lampanelli, Larry Miller, George Wallace, Louis Black, Jim Gaffigan, all these people started at this one club, and I was amazed at how that happened. So I sat with each of them, and we did these interviews, and they told me intimate, funny stories of how they got started. You know, Colin Quinn was a bartender there, and they told him that he couldn't perform unless he quit his job. So he had to quit his job as a bartender in order to perform. And Ray Romano started performing under the name Jackie Roberts. I don't know if you know that. It's a little-known story, because in those days there was a lottery in order to perform. They had to pick your name out of a hat. So to double his chances, he brought a friend with him. And he couldn't find a guy, so he brought a girl. So he said to her, well, look, if they pick you, you have to use an androgynous name. I can't go up under a girl's name. So she picked Jackie Roberts. And, of course, his name got picked. And he had to go on stage as Jackie Roberts. And he did. He was a hit. He was very funny. And they invited him back. And he was afraid to tell them that he lied about his name. So for the first 3 months of his career, he performed under the name Jackie Roberts. So this book is a compilation of stories and great pictures of all these comedians in the early days, You know, and it's wonderful inside stories. As I said, it took me 4 years. I flew out to L.A. to interview Billy Crystal. He was the only one that didn't come into the club because he was out in L.A., and I couldn't miss the opportunity to interview him. And if you're a student of comedy, if you love comedy history and you love these comedians, it's a great read because it's really inside stories and how they all wound up at the comic strip, which is still functioning and doing well after all these years.
All right, Jeff, hang on a second, and we have more to talk about. We're going to do that on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Attention investors, 2017 is the year of Trump, and financial markets are rising at all-time highs. But economic uncertainty may be greater than after any election in our lifetime. And as retirement approaches, there's little time to recover your losses. You need to hedge against uncertainty. That means transferring part of your retirement to physical gold and silver stored where you can actually hold it in your hand and get it fast in any disaster. It's a perfect time to buy. Prices are low and expected to climb. Make Augusta Precious Metals your personal gold and silver provider. Augusta cares for your financial position and helps you make good decisions. And they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Get Augusta's free gold and silver IRA guide. What you learn could help you weather any economic storm. There's no obligation. Just call toll-free. Call 855-222-5857. That's 855-222-5857. Again, 855-222-5857. Trust Augusta. Protect your retirement today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Today, how to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1, stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2, call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-945-1063. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-945-1063. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-945-1063. That's 1-800-945-1063.
It's called the Deep State. Barack Obama's most loyal aides still hold office, and they want to stop President Trump. Deep State was first revealed in the runaway New York Times bestseller, Big Agenda. David Horowitz's Big Agenda exposes Obama's government in exile and his shocking plan. Newsmax, Lou Dobbs, Ann Coulter all say you must read Big Agenda at bookstores everywhere, or check out our free offer. Call 800-NEWSMAX, 800-NEWSMAX, or go to BigAgenda411.com. That's BigAgenda411.com.
Jeffrey Gurin, and we've been talking about, Jeff, the two books that you have, and boy, fascinating insights.
If you're a student of comedy, if you love comedy history and you love these comedians, it's a great read because it's really inside stories and how they all wound up at the comic strip, which is still functioning and doing well after all these years, 40 years. You know, the other clubs were like, the Improv had opened in 63, which was the first comedy club, and then Catch a Rising Star, and those clubs are no longer in New York. So this is the only club that is still open and functioning, and I thought it was amazing. So it was a thrill for me to do this book and to sit with all these people. You know, Judd Apatow, the king of Hollywood, wrote me a great blurb for the cover. Mm-hmm. And on the back is Bob Saget, Richard Lewis, and Nick Kroll. You know, I don't know if you know, but I'm the first Too Much Tuna guy. You know about that?
I didn't know that. Too Much Tuna, that's
Too Much
you,
Tuna.
Huh?
Nick Kroll and John Mulaney pranked me with Too Much Tuna. They just had a show on Broadway called Oh Hello, which ran for a few months, a very hit show. Every big star in the world wanted to be on as a guest star. And during the show, they prank you with a very big tuna sandwich. And it sounds very silly, but it caught on and it went viral. And I was the first Too Much Tuna guy. They brought me out to L.A., and we shot it for Comedy Central on the Kroll show. And they made me a special jacket. Are you familiar with the Guardian Angels? You know,
yeah,
like Curtis
absolutely. Yeah. Well, I know Curtis, yeah.
Curtis is a very dear friend of mine. Nick Kroll and John Mulaney made me a jacket. Instead of the Guardian Angels, mine says Gurian Angels. And they made me the head of security for the show, which was hilarious. And they had me on the red carpet for their Broadway opening. And it was really so fun. And then two nights later, I brought Curtis Sliwa to the show. They didn't know that I knew him. So he came wearing his Guardian Angels jacket, and I came wearing my Gurian Angels jacket. And we made sure that everyone was under control, that no fights broke out. Broadway's rough. You never know what's going to happen on Broadway.
Of course. And then, so that book sounds fabulous. And then you have another one to boot. So you're a busy guy, man. What a scribe. Right now, like the Ten Commandments. You keep writing. And this book is
An Embarrassment of Riches.
Yeah. So your next book is Man Robs Bank with His Chin and Other Unusual Stories Missed by Mainstream Media. That's intriguing. Tell us about that.
Well, you can tell right away from the title that it's a very serious book. Man Robs Bank with His Chin. Yeah. You know, I used to write for the legendary Weekly World News. I grew up reading this. I mean, it was an amazing thing. It was the precursor to The Onion. And I had my own column called Gurian's World of the Bizarre, and it's stories like, you know, man with infant's head sues for discrimination, George Washington wore wooden pants. I don't know if you know about that. I mean, like, so many people thought he had wooden teeth.
But
the truth
pants.
Was, it was yeah. his pants, wooden pants. You remember when he chopped down the cherry tree?
Yeah.
It was to get softer wood for his pants. He had been wearing mahogany pants. And, you know, cherry wood is a lot softer. It's
yeah.
very difficult. And you know that famous picture of him crossing the Delaware?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's why he was standing up in the boat. You can't
sit
down in wooden pants. It's very hard to do that. So I have all these stories that many people are not aware of that are missed by mainstream media. Hunter lost in wilderness, saved by his mustache. You
Love
probably
it.
Haven't heard about that,
no,
right?
No, I don't know that story.
He was lost in the cold and his mustache magnetized and turned into a compass. He realized that his mustache was spinning and it pointed north and it saved his life. It got him out of the woods. And his wife said, I always hated that mustache. Who knew that it would save his life?
I have a lot of
stories about facial hair. You know, High Roller wears mustache made out of gold. You know, it's like he showed up at a casino wearing a highly polished mustache, so highly polished that it damaged the eyes of the dealer. And now there's a big lawsuit. You know, a lot of my stories end up with lawsuits, you know, but there are stories like tap dancing for the criminally insane, you know, which is a new technique that they're using to calm down violent criminals, teaching
wow.
them tap dancing. Can you imagine?
No, can't. Tap their way right out of prison. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, this one guy was a cannibal. He said if only he hadn't eaten his parents, he could have been the next Gene Kelly. It's, you know, unbelievable. Man,
yeah.
man removes own appendix using beer as anesthetic.
Wow.
So it's all these stories, and the guy who wrote the foreword to this book, his name is Scott Dickers. He created The Onion.
Wow.
And so that was a great
funny.
Honor because he said that these stories were an inspiration for The Onion, you know. And
yeah.
Richard Lewis kind of summed it up. He wrote a blurb for the cover, and he said, these hilarious stories and the author's longtime reputation as a top comedian makes you wonder why he isn't selling out clubs in North Korea.
Yeah, more kimchi, please, please.
Exactly. Oh, so for all of your listeners who like absurd humor, very bizarre humor, this is the book for them. Man Robs Bank with His Chin.
I love
it. It's also on Amazon.
I could talk to you all day long, but we are out of time. Jeffrey Burian, you are hilarious. I want to tell people to go to Amazon to get the books, and also at Jeffrey Gurian on Twitter, hashtag Jeffrey Gurian on Instagram. Definitely follow this guy. Jeffrey, thanks so much for spending time with us.
And if they can come to my website, they'll see all my videos with Jimmy Fallon. Everybody, comedymatterstv.com.
Love it. Love it. We're going there now. Jeffrey, thank you so much.
And thank you, Kate. It was so fun being on with you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Wow. What a funny guy, and his story is priceless. Nathan Reeder, you're a fan of comedy or laughing. Who do you have a favorite comedian? What do you find funny?
I'm an awkward person myself, and I like it when people can fit the comedy into something that maybe not everyone understands and maybe isn't quite funny at the moment, or it is funny at the moment and maybe takes a lot of thinking, or it takes no thinking, you know. I kind of like that millennial trend where it's like, well, we'll just go with weird and awkward and crazy. But I like it when it's really smart. I like that kind of comedy. I mean, Louis C.K.
I love Louis C.K.
Portlandia is a great
Portlandia
project going right now.
I
liked Kids in Hall and Whitest Kids, you know, and the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Yeah, we like a lot of the same comedy. I love Portlandia. I think that it's ingenious. It wraps that sarcasm, the obvious, not obvious, awkward. Fred Armisen is fabulous, and Carrie Brownstein is hilarious too. And just what they are able to do is amazing. And Louis C.K., he reverse engineers life. So he looks at something, you say, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking, and that it's not the obvious. He's good.
Well, who was our guest here?
Jeff Gurian.
Jeff Gurian described it pretty well, insofar as some of the newer comedy still being
observational
since the 90s.
Yeah.
You know, it is. It's just getting a little smarter, and we have quicker words, I guess, quicker ideas, semiotics.
Yeah, yeah, interesting stuff. I thought that was good. And, of course, we've been talking about comedy here on the show, and we're going to get more comedians and whatnot, more people on the show to talk about comedy. And there's something about, I don't know, there's something about cutting the tension with a joke, whether it's in a more serious setting or not quite a serious setting. And, of course, to me, there's no question humor rules. Definitely. And I know probably for some of you it's the same way. Or maybe it's not. You need to lighten up if it's not. And comedy is personal. Some, you know, where Nathan and I both mentioned a couple of the same people that we liked. I like Jim Gaffigan. I like Amy Schumer. A lot of people don't like Amy Schumer. But I get her humor, and I totally appreciate it. And, you know, there's clean comedy, and then there's just completely blue comedy, and it depends on your sensitivity. It depends on, frankly, what you think is funny, whether it is that observational humor or it's the old style of boom, boom, punch, boom, boom, punch. You know, give me the setup and then get to the punch. And that's old style comedy that does still work for some people. Of course, it depends on who it is. You know, like if you go back and you look at Rodney Dangerfield, for example, and he had some really funny lines. And if you go back and look at some of the older comedians and look at the brilliance of how they told some of those jokes, I can really appreciate the setup, the punchlines, and how they looked at what was funny then. Thanks so much, as always, to Nathan and the rest of the crew, of course, at the Mothership, and all of you for listening to this version of America Tonight.
We We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Imagine what it's like to be active your whole life and then find out you're going blind.
I have age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. As a wife, mother, and grandmother, my sight is precious to me, so I was relieved to find that treatments for some forms of AMD are available, and research for additional treatments is underway. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.